Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit Alive Network, your transformation station. And this is the Faith Cafe, and I'm your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And hope you are rejoicing and being glad in it, for God is good. Hallelujah. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. His words say, the goodness of God leadeth men unto repentance. Praise God. Praise God on this day. And we're going to go into the throne room of God. And Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for you are good, Lord, and that your mercy, it endures forever. Thank you, Father God, because we know it was not the alarm clock that woke us up this morning, but you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, and give you glory and honor, Father God, for you are worthy, Lord. And Father, as I minister forth the oracles of you, I pray that all fallow ground is broken up, Father God, and that, Father God, the ground is prepared, the soil is prepared to receive your word, that your word be received with gladness, and that it would bring forth fruit in each and every life, that, Father, each would be changed from glory to glory and faith to faith by the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we give you thanks, give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. There's just no searching of God's understanding. He is just an awesome God. He is just awesome. And today I'm going to speak to you on love. There are four kinds of love in the Word of God. But our foundation scripture today on love is John 3:16. Now, there are four types. There are four different kinds of love. There's agape love, there's eros, there's philios, and there's storge. So I'm going to go through and give you the definition of each and every one. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on those. Okay, we're going to start with eros, and eros is Greek. All these are Greek words, and they are defined, and eros is defined in the Greek as intimate love. This love is mainly, sexual passion, you know, the love that joins together, two people, husband and wife, which is the love God created, you know, between husband and wife. And you can refer to the Song of Solomon as a reference. Now, some of them don't like to talk about eros, and I'm not going to elaborate on it long. But that is a part of the Word of God. God defined marriage, and He said it was not good for man to be alone, and He sent a helpmate. So God created marriage. He created intimate love between husband and wife. So eros is a part of love. Okay. Again, reference Song of Solomon. And philia is a friendship love. It's a love between friends, not just a love between friends. It's a strong love, a covenant love, a covenant friendship. As what Jonathan and David had, as an example. They had such a covenant relationship. Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul, the Word of God says. So he loved him to the point that he'd taken off his robe and he gave it to David along with his sword and with his bow and with his belt. They were so knitted together in a love, friendship. If nothing else really mattered, he would lay down his life for David. Okay, you could find that 1 Samuel 18:3. So Jonathan was the son of King Saul. So Jonathan had this, he had basically a priestly relationship because of being the son of King Saul. But he loved David so much, and he was willing to give up these things to David, to give him a robe, belt, and all because of his dying love of friendship. To say it wasn't just a regular friendship, this was a strong covenant friendship. So that's covenant friendship, which is filio, and that is spelled P-H-I-L-E-O. And the next love we're going to look at is storge. It's spelled S-T-O-R-G-E in English, but it's pronounced storge in the Greek, which is a family love, which is a love that we have between our family, you know, our brothers, our sisters, our siblings, and love for our parents. And parents, you know, have the love for their children. And this type of love is also commonly found all through God's word. So those that are in the family of God, you know, we are to have that storge love, as well as unconditional love, which we are, which is agape, and we're going to get to that. So this is a love that honors our father and our mother. They tell us to honor them, which is Ephesians 6:2. And it's the same type of love that Martha and Mary, that they had for their brother Lazarus. And their brother Lazarus had died, and they were so distraught. They were crying and telling Jesus, if you wouldn't have been there, he would not have died. But Jesus also, Lazarus was his friend, and he also wept and shared tears that Lazarus had died, because Lazarus was his friend. He was his friend. So this is the love that we would have for family members and also friends that are close friends, but it's that same type of love. Okay, now agape love. Agape love is the love that is the supreme love of all the previous loves that I just mentioned. Agape love, it tops it all, okay? It's the love, it's defined as unconditional love. And we know the Father God and Jesus Christ, our Savior, he had love for us unconditional love. That's what he had for us. And he demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to die for us. He loved us, so he loved us in spite of our sins. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And we are to love unconditionally. Love in spite of. Love unconditionally means you love in spite of. Whether or not the love is being reciprocated to you back or not, we still are to love. We're to love the person whether they deserve to be loved or not. And some people have done some things awful in life, and we feel like they don't deserve to be loved. You know, I hear that all the time. But we are to love whether they deserve to be loved or not. And I'll say this, we cannot love the way God says love unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been born again and have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. We cannot love the way God says, because God is love. And if we have God, we have love. And that's the only way that you can love unconditionally. And the word also tells us to love our enemies. And loving our enemies, that doesn't mean that you're their friend. that you're to go sit down and have dinner with them, that you're to go out, go out and just do friendship kind of things with them. No, that doesn't mean that, because if you know someone is your enemy and you know they don't like you, you know, you don't hang around and try to be buddies with them. But the Word of God tells us we're to love them. We don't have to like them. We don't have to like their behavior. But we are to love them unconditionally. And love them meaning love them. Do good by them. Do good by them. You have an opportunity to do a good deed for them, then do that. And show by showing the love of Christ, by you doing that good deed to them, you are showing the love of God. You're demonstrating what God told us to love. But no, we don't have to hang out with them, but we can love them. You don't have to like them, but we are required by the Word to love them. And love is an action word. We don't just love in word. We're to love in deed as well. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. Because we go around telling people we love them and never do anything, never show the love. What good is that? They're not going to believe you. I use the illustration a lot of as husband and wife. You're married and your husband telling you all the time he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, and he's never demonstrating any action that he loves you. You will begin to question, do you really love me? You know, so love is an action word. And our example is the Lord, is our Father God and our Savior Jesus Christ. How God demonstrated his love for us. He put that in action, John 3:16, which is a very familiar scripture. We all love it and we all know it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the 17th verse says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God sent his Son to die for us. And Jesus, he died on the cross. He was obedient all the way to the cross, all the way to death. And he was obedient. And God said he did not send him to condemn us. So God doesn't condemn us, but he corrects us and he convicts us. So God sent his Son by his Son Jesus shedding his blood for us. Jesus demonstrated his love by obedience. And that's 1 John 3 and 16. Let's take a look at 1 John 3 and 16. And it's funny because John 3, 16 talks about Jesus' love, about the love of God that he gave his Son. And 1 John talks about Jesus' love. Let's take a look here, 1 John 3:16. By this perceive we the love of God, because which is the love of Jesus, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Wow, powerful, huh? So God, Jesus laid down his life, and we are to lay down our life. And we are to love one another unconditionally. Unconditionally. And loving our enemies, that's something we all have had problems with. But all that is definitely included. God has commanded us to love. That's his commandment, that we love one another. And as he told his disciples, he says, this is how men would know ye are my disciples, that you have the love one for another. Praise God. Let's look at Romans 12:9 and 10 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly and affectionately one to another with brotherly love, and honoring and preferring one another. So we're to let our love be sincere. We are to hate those things. We're to hate those things that are evil, things that are those that are contrary, that are against the word of God. We are to turn away from those things. But we are to embrace and we are to hold fast to that which is good. And we know that is all good that's in the word of God, and we're to hold fast to that. And he says we're to love one another with that brotherly love, okay? Brotherly love as members in the family of God. Now, in the family of God, we're to have precedence over the family of God, over others. Because one passage of scripture tells us to do good unto all, but especially those that are of the household of faith. So let's look at Hebrews 13:1, looking at brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1. And it tells us to let brotherly love continue. So we're to continue in brotherly love, where we are to let the love continue, whether what's going on or not, we're to let the love continue. If we have an argument with our misunderstanding or except for anything with our brothers and our sisters, or we may get angry at them about something, and the enemy always going to try and come up with something, you know, to get you off guard, to get you out of love. But we're to not to let that thing fester. We are to talk it over with our brothers and sisters, and let's get that right. Make sure we get that right, and with our brother and sisters, and not letting our love fail. Don't let it fail. Don't let it grow cold. You know, continue in it. Continue. Let brotherly love continue. And it's always not going to be where everything is always peachy keen all the time, because it's not. We're going to go through misunderstandings and disagreements, but we are to let the love of God show, because the word of God tells us that His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we have the Holy Ghost in us, and we continually to love and walk in love unconditionally toward our brothers and our sisters, and even not just our brothers and sisters, those that are without Christ. We are to walk in love toward them. And you may say, Sister Joyce, that's kind of hard to do, because you don't know what I have to deal with on a job. You don't know what I have to deal with at home with unsaved relatives. You just don't know what all I have to deal with. Yeah, I understand. I have relatives that are unsaved. I worked in the corporate America where you're talking, where I'm dealing with sharks, okay? I understand and know what it is to deal with people that don't have a renewed spirit. They have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But regardless, we are still to have the mindset of walking in love and not rendering evil for evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. Just because someone do something to you, they feel like, oh, okay. And I've heard people say, oh, I just felt so good getting them back. I just felt so good doing that. I told him, I say, then question, if you felt so good to inflict pain upon them, regardless of what they did to you, they're not a born-again believer. But if you feel comfortable and you felt good about inflicting pain upon them and you felt so good, then question if the love of God is in you. Question if you truly been born again. Are you a spirit-filled believer? I would question that, because the love of God in us constrains us to do what is right. A lot of times we don't want to do. Times I have struggled, but the Holy Ghost was nudging me and telling me, you need to go over there and repent to them. You need to go over there and straighten that out. And I had to humble myself and go over, because, yes, I had blown it. But I had to go over and humble myself to them and tell them, I'm sorry, I blew it. Did I want to do it? Flesh did not want to do it. No. But the love of Christ in me, the Spirit of God, drawn me to, you need to do this. This is not right. So you have to lay down your flesh and tell your flesh to get under, because the word of God tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. When you're trying to transgress against what God has said, you know, the two natures are going to, you know, they're at war with each other. But it's hard when you're trying to go against the word of God. It's just easy when you let the word of God just flow. You feel that peace. You feel that burden lift. But when we fight and we try to go against what God wants, and we try to our flesh, you know, please our flesh, because we don't want to do it. But we transgressing against the word of God, and that's harder than we would submit unto God. So let not love fail. Never let it fail. And let's look at Jude 21. There's only one book of Jude, one letter, the book of Jude, and we're going to look at the 21st verse. And Jude 21st verse says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay? We're to keep ourselves in God's love. This is what I wanted to focus on, is point A. And it says we want to make sure that we keep ourselves in the love of God by guarding our minds, guarding ourselves, guarding our minds, guarding our hearts, and not allowing anything to come in to steal the love of God. If we're not careful, sometimes things come up and we'll get upset with people and not forgive them and end up allowing things to take root in our heart. And where we allow it to take root, you're in a lot of trouble there, because once that thing's taken root, those roots just begin to affect everything. It chokes the word of God. You know, it chokes the word of God in your life, and affects everybody around you. When you start dealing with people and those roots come out because people realize, oh, they got a problem. You know when people have issues. You know when they have problems and issues of certain things that are going on in their life, because their conversation, how they treat you, and you know they're not walking in the love of God. So we have to be careful and not allow anything, guarding our heart, protecting it, protecting our mind. Putting on that shield, that helmet to make sure we're not allowing anything in our life to come in to affect our mind. And I remember older man used to say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you certainly don't let him, you certainly don't have to let him build a nest up there. So you cast down these mind, these thoughts of the mind, you know, and don't allow things in your heart where it would steal the love of God out of your heart, but you want to guard it, protect it, you know, nurture it just like you would nurture anything that's dear to you, because God's love is dear. The love of God is dear to our hearts. It's precious. And salvation, deliverance, these things are precious to us as being a saint of God, and we want to protect it. Praise God. And we want to protect it, love, where we don't allow love, Satan, to steal the love of God out of your hearts, or to steal the love that we have for one for another. Praise God. And that's all that I really have for you on today. But I would like for you to continue, if you desire, to tune in tonight for our prayer. Tune in with Evangelist Janie Branch. She will be here on the Spirit Alive Network at 7 p.m. and Pacific Standard Time. Prayer changes things. So tune in and hear Evangelist Janie as she share with you on prayer. Praise God. And thank you so much once again for tuning in, taking time out, tuning in to the Spirit Alive Network, to the Faith Cafe. I have been your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, and I thank you so much from Facebook, chat room, studio, wherever you may be listening at. Thank you. And again, let the word take root in your heart, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now remember 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, until next time, we say, be ye transformed. And good night, and have a blessed evening.